welcome dear friends to St. Patrick's Parish Podcast. And perhaps a few days late, here is my reflection for St. Patrick's Day. This year the feast fell on a Sunday, so the readings of the fifth Sunday of Lent, year B, took precedence. That was Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. Letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 7 to 9, and the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 30. Holy boy, come and walk once more among us, the voice said to the young man. Patricius, back home in Britain, was entitled to ignore that voice. After all, the Irish had not exactly been good to him when he was last there. I will come back to that story later, but first let me tell you of a video I saw not so long ago. It was the story of the Jews, one of those excellent documentaries made by the BBC and narrated by the Jewish scholar Simon Shammah. At one point in it, he is debating with a rabbi about this eternal question for Jews. When will the Messiah come? Has he already come? They both conclude that it's part and parcel of being a Jew, this endless wait for the Messiah to come. It gives meaning to their lives on earth. But then, in the video, they suggest that if the Messiah has come, as the Christians say he has, why isn't the world a better place than it is? And that question leads one to ask, what sort of Messiah were we expecting? Now we know the versions. We maybe have seen them in films, on television, maybe documentaries. Those like the Zealots who expected a Messiah who would throw the Romans into the sea. A Messiah who would restore the glory of the kingdom of Israel as in the days of King David. But there are other versions too, less popular ones, which speak of a suffering servant upon whose shoulders the sins of the people will be laid. He will be the scapegoat, carrying the sins of the people into the desert. Do you remember 2 weeks ago? No, I don't expect you to remember my sermons, but when last I said the particular masses that I said on Patrick's weekend, I spoke of thousands of people worldwide who were waiting for the greatest night of their lives. No, not a ticket to a Taylor Swift concert, or the front row at the Oscars, or a seat at the Aviva Stadium to watch Ireland win the Six Nations again. But no, to the night of Holy Saturday, which was 2 weeks away, when they would be baptized and confirmed and Eucharisted into the Catholic Church. And everything in their lives, even and especially the darker moments, was leading them to that night. So what sort of Messiah are these people expecting? And that's the purpose of the readings of these Sundays of Lent. That's why the Sunday readings take precedence even over the Feast of Patrick, although we are allowed to use the prayers of the saint. The letter to the Hebrews spoke clearly about Christ, almost as an eyewitness in Gethsemane. He offered up prayer and entreaty aloud and in silent tears. He submitted so humbly that his prayer was heard. Although he was son, he learnt to obey through suffering. Here is no warrior Messiah, a general with troops to eject the Romans from Palestine. No, instead, it is the suffering servant of whom Isaiah speaks so eloquently, and especially in his poem, which we listen to on Good Friday afternoon. Jesus himself knows the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you, most solemnly, unless a wheat grain falls on the ground and dies, it remains only a single grain. But if it dies, it yields a rich harvest. Now later in our gospel text, he also adds, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I shall draw all people to myself. There is no clearer reference to the great event of Calvary when he was lifted up on the cross. The Messiah of the Gospels is one who went to the cross and who will help us carry ours. But back to Patrick. 16 centuries ago, a young man who had escaped from this land of ours heard in his prayer God calling him back to Ireland. Why should he go? After all, Irish pirates had captured him and sold him as a slave for 6 years. And those Irish were pagan, believers in God as the sun and the moon and the other elements of nature. But Patrick heard and obeyed and went off to train as a priest in France. The story tells us that in the year 432 he landed with a small group of missionaries at Saul, not 4 miles from here. And so the story began. 30 years of preaching, teaching, baptizing, ordaining, Patrick left a legacy that endures to this day. Soon there were thousands who heard his word and whose hearts were captured for Christ. In their zeal they brought the gospel far beyond the shores of Ireland, to Scotland and France, to Germany and Italy. When the Huns, the Goths and the Vandals, those northern European tribes, were destroying the Roman Empire and threatening to destroy civilization itself, the Irish missionaries continued to spread the good news. And in some sense, historians would say, saved Europe. When Pope John Paul visited our shores in 1979, he said this in Limerick: "Every generation is like a new continent to be conquered for Christ." How true that is today. Sometimes, you know, when I've completed a baptism, I bring the various parties down to the beautiful mosaics and the windows which tell the story of Patrick in our transept in the church. It's a wonderful photo opportunity too for the families. And yet I'm conscious, though I tell the story, though I describe the lovely mosaics, Patrick's capture, his dream, his arrival in Saul, his conflict with the Druids, his death at Rahulp, and so on, I'm sometimes conscious that it's almost like a new story to the hearers, like a distant memory someone told them about in the past. Let me end with another story, which I hope relates to our feast day today. Someone gave me a book for Christmas. It's called What is Christianity? An intriguing title. It was, in fact, the very last book of Joseph Ratzinger, the late Pope Benedict. It consisted of pieces of unfinished articles, letters to friends, Jewish rabbis and other people. And Ratzinger had a particular friendship with a great Swiss theologian called Hans Urs von Balthasar. In one of their meetings, Hans, Joseph remembered, said firmly to him, "The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, do not presuppose him, but propose him." Let me repeat that powerful sentence. "The Holy Trinity," Hans said, "Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, do not presuppose him, but propose him." I suspect that the man we honour today, who taught our forefathers and mothers about God by using the shamrock, would say, "Amen." Thank you, dear friends, for listening to these few thoughts on Patrick. And I wish you well during this Holy Week that we're about to begin. We've already celebrated the great feast of Palm Sunday. And now lie ahead the great days of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. I hope that you will be able to come to the church to celebrate these feasts with us.